Let it burn the word this morning. Let it perhaps be as our Father, the name of your Son Jesus. In this service, we welcome the revelation of your word. Our eyes are open together as a church. We behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this service, we are glorified and we are edified. Amen. All right, this morning, I'll just do a few things to remind ourselves of the truth of God's word. One of the jobs of a pastor is to keep you in remembrance. 1 Timothy 4:6 is I will keep the brethren in remembrance of these things. Because oftentimes we forget. It's very easy to forget today. You know, just like we sang now. You know, if all you do is sing in the service, day after day after day, then on Monday, you don't sing it until Sunday. That means it's not part of your life. It should be something you sing all the time because it's the truth of God's word. All right, so we remind ourselves, Paul says, put the brethren in remembrance. One of the work of the Spirit for the apostles in John 14:26, he will bring you to remembrance of whatever things I've said to you. And the word there means youfulness will cause you to consider it. And how that happens is that you look back at things you have learned again and again. Hallelujah. So this morning we want to do a short study in God's word and to be focused. We have a focus. It's the year of supernatural harvest by the Spirit of God, the first fruit of things to come. And it means, therefore, that our focus has to be the same. One thing about the local church is that we must have a corporate identity. We must have a corporate identity. One. Two, we must have a corporate focus. The moment that is missing is what is called division and strife. Corporate identity, corporate focus, and definitely corporate goal. It's what is called the one accord. In Philippians chapter 2, quickly turn there. Paul puts attention on that in verse 1. If there be any consolation, Paul, in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, if any treasure of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. Let's take verse 2 together. Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind. Look at 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Let's take verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ. So he's basically saying, we must have one mind. And one mind towards each other. And one mind, you know, in the world today, this goes on. People will call this is strange. This is manipulation, you can say. This is manipulation. This is not in the spirit of human rights. Everybody should have a right to have his own mind and choose what he wants to do. But that's not the word of God. You cannot gauge God's word in the light of men's words. And many of us can become very careless by the thoughts that we receive from the world. Because you cannot leave this world. You have to be in this world. You have to learn from this world. You have to school in this world. Get the education. And rise in your career in this world. You've got to do that. You've got to do business in this world. You've got to raise kids in this world. You've got to do things in this world. You know. But then you've got to understand that you are not of this world. Hallelujah. And so you've got to be careful of the kind of thoughts that you've accepted as true. You know, the world doesn't know God. Let that be clear. In Matthew 16:12-13, Jesus asks, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, have? And they say, some say you are John the Baptist. Others say that you are Elijah. Some say you are Jeremiah, one of the prophets. They've always had this thing mixed up about who Jesus is. Who is he? That's the world. That's how they see him. And you cannot use that as a template in how you receive God's word. You can't receive God's word in the light of other things you are learning. It's the other way around. You can't receive God's word in the light of things you are hearing. It's the other way around. You receive the things you are hearing from the world through the light of God's word. Do you understand the difference? Do you understand the difference? Not the other way around. You say, well, I see this in the Bible, but it's the other way around. Well, I heard this, I read this, but, praise the Lord. I was reading a book by Arsene Wenger, his book actually. So because I bought the book, so they sent me an excerpt first before I purchased the book. And then he said something about forgiveness of sins, because he's Catholic. So he said, you know, very interesting. He said, I'm forced to always confess sins. And some of the times when I confess the sins, I've already sinned because I'm lying, because I can't remember any sin I committed. Some of that very funny. So, you know, and I kind of laughed at, you know, that's what he said. You know, you can get that, and then because you really like him. I know some of you don't, that's your business. But because you really like him, and then you feel like it's making sense. You know, that's another thing. It's making sense what he's saying. It's not making any sense. Do you understand? You don't read him, or you don't read the word in the light of what he said. No, you read what he has said in the light of God's word. God's word first. Amen. Said God's word first. Amen. That's why you're a believer. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that when you get to your office, for example, as a financial expert, you're going to counsel your client and you say, well, the Bible says, you're probably going to lose your job. Give. The Bible says that love not money in financial advising. You know, that's why I say you are not of this world, but you're in this world. You've got to give the advice according to your training. According to your training. I told someone that I say, I can advise you as a lawyer, I can advise you as a Christian. But the one as a Christian is personal. The one as a lawyer is formal. As a lawyer, do this. As a Christian, the Bible says. I say, I'm a Christian too, but I need my money. I don't know, that's not a problem, really. You know, so I'm not saying you should abandon professional calling. Just telling you that you must read things in the light of God's word. It has to be in the light of God's word all the time, not the other way around. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 1. It's not our subject for today, but we'll get something good out of it. 1 Corinthians 1. I'm going to read again verse 10. Let's go. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. Let's go. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus. Let's take it again. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Praise the Lord. So the local judge is not where you voice your opinion. Say, in my own opinion, I know some churches have what they call the general meeting. Everybody sits down and they begin to voice their opinion. I think we should stop preaching faith. Let's preach holiness. Okay, it's true. How many of you want to preach holiness alone? How many of you think we should be preaching the last days? Last days, 46. Holiness, 72. So holiness has it. How many of you think that the prayer is too long? Hands of worship go up. How many of you think that our evangelism is our take? So what do you do? Let's just love. No. He says you must be of one mind, one judgment. And that's how the local church works. Brother Hagin talked about three kinds of anointing. He says there is the anointing within, anointing upon. The third one, he says, that the anointing without, or the corporate anointing, which is, it gives identification or identity to a local assembly. And it's always from the leader or the pastors, it flows that way. And everybody, so the way you have one judgment, one mind, is when we are able to, put it this way, we're able to be submitted under the same leadership. So we have that corporate flow. Because we're submitted to the same leadership, we all hear from the same instructions. Alright, we have the same, for example, Paul is giving the instruction now. How do they achieve one mind, one judgment? Is by listening to him and doing what he has said. So in other words, the way we achieve that, to have that corporate flow, which is the most effective for us in ministry, is when we all listen to one voice. And we all heed to one authority. That's how that's achieved. And so as we advance towards the will of God in the things that we do, people have asked me, how were we able to weather the storms? There are still more storms to weather, though, very much more. I said, it's because of a unity of purpose. When people are united in purpose, we're able to do everything we want to do. And that works in every sphere. I told you, in your business, in your home, in your relationships, when you have one mind, when you have one spirit, you know, it works. One mind, one spirit. No matter how talented you are in any field, if you're surrounded with those who are don't like you, they don't want you. Nobody's going to get it because you are not united. If you're in a team and everybody wants to shine, nobody's going to shine. So, same way, when you're working with people, if you're going to get the best out of that, should I say association or organization, you must work with the unity of purpose. Unity of purpose. Hallelujah. You following what I'm saying? All right, good. So let's go to Romans 6:15, our text for this morning. Romans 15. I'm going to read verse 4. Paul. For whatsoever things were written. Now, why did he say this? If you look at the context of this text, he was referring to the brother who has a weak conscience towards the eating of meat. Romans 14 verse 1. Receive not with doubtful disputation. Then in Romans 15 1, he said, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We then that are strong. So that means in every local church, we're going to have those who are weak, right? And those who are strong, right? We're going to have those who are just growing. You know, I just read something before I came up now by the just an excerpt someone just sent. It looked beautiful. And they said, there is a time when you are saved that you are growing as a baby Christian. There's a time you ought to be a regular member of the church. I love the sequence. There's a time you ought to be a committed worker. And there's a time you ought to be raising disciples. You must keep growing all the time. I like that. That means there's also a time you should be over a flock. Right? There must be a time. There's a time you're born again, okay, then you're growing, you're enjoying the world. You know, that's how I'm enjoying it. So, I'm really enjoying this church. In fact, the world is on point. You know, I'm like, on point. In fact, we went during the believers meeting, everything, all my expectations were met. What's his expectation? His problems. There's a time for that. There's a time to not be a regular member. Where Sister Kenny or Brother Toby doesn't have to go and bring you to church. You are now there. Demon, yo, just like you came. I'm very sure most of you None of you here came in a general bus. This is how we want every service to look like, right? Nobody came to tell you money. Workers meeting, workers meeting. General mission, you're not a worker yet. Okay, workers meeting, don't forget to, don't forget. Have you ever? Workers. But this is supposed to be a regular church service. Okay? There's time for that. By the time now you are in the workforce, that's what the article said. You are now committed. Now you are, then you move from there to you are raising disciples till you have a flock that you oversee. You must keep growing and making advancement. Anything that is not making, that will have a growth, increase, is dead. Or is dying. And nothing dies in your hands. Nothing dies in your hands. So nothing dies in your hands. You are making progress. You are making increase. You are not stagnant in your walk and your walk. You are not stagnant. Amen. That's important. And one of the things you know, one of the ways you see the hand of God on anything is that it's making progress. That's how to discern the hand of God. It's making progress. It's making an increase. Because that's the commission of God. Go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. So here we go. So we also bear the defense of the week. Verse 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. We're going to share much of this tomorrow. For even Christ pleased not himself, but is written, the reproaches of them that I reproached thee fell on me. Unity, therefore, is achieved when we are able to consider others, not ourselves. So, Paul says, for whatsoever things were written, this is our text, you know, aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. Patience, God's patience. Hallelujah. How many of you know God is very patient? He's very patient. Is patient in teaching, patient in his follow-up, right? Is he? Discipleship is very patient. And so you must be that patient. Hallelujah. You must be that patient. Okay, so he says the things were for our learning. The Greek word there is the same word for doctrine, for our doctrine, which means that the things that happened are for our learning. For doctrine. Earlier on, or later on, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul, in verse 6, now these things were for our examples. Our examples. 1 Corinthians 10 again, verse 11. Now all this has happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the end of the world will come. So, in other words, we have doctrine, we also have examples. The word example means a model, a pattern, a type. And in 1 Corinthians 10, not a good one, because the pattern there is a pattern of lusting after evil things. Lusting after evil things. It's like in Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ. Verse 16, 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for teaching, doctrine, same word Romans 15 for, written for doctrine. Now, it breaks it down. For conviction, which is to convince. For correction, then instruction in righteousness. The word padiaye, P-A-I-D-I-A, D-I-A, which is to instruct a child to grow. Which means that as we read the examples in the Old Testament books, as we call it, Genesis to Malachi, we read doctrine for growth. We read doctrine. We also read warnings that stand against spiritual growth. We also see bad examples that we should not follow after. We also see good examples that we should follow after. As we read the verbiage, the examples of Genesis to Malachi that we often call the Old Testament. And so when he says, my son, for example, in Proverbs 4, verse 20, attend to my words in kind and hear to my sayings, is an instruction to righteousness. padiae, to a son, to a child. Why? Because Solomon said, my son. Because Solomon, he's speaking as a prophet. And Israel, the nation he's speaking to, is called the son of God. Exodus 4:2, Israel is my son, Israel is my firstborn. The word Bien and Bakor, Israel is my son, Israel is my firstborn. And so, the writer of Hebrews lets us know, Hebrews 12 and 5, that don't forget that exhortation that speaks unto you as unto sons. As unto sons. As unto sons. Do not fret when you are rebuked or corrected. As unto sons. So we have instruction in what we call the Old Testament for our spiritual growth. I'm not so and so person. I'm trying to do for example anyway. I'm not Potiphar. I'm not Pharaoh. Yeah, you're not Pharaoh. But Pharaoh can be found in the walk of the flesh. And if Pharaoh can be found in the walk of the flesh, don't lust after the things that Pharaoh did. That's as basic as it is. Hallelujah. Is that very clear? All right. So, we want to, in our service of God, you know, in the way we serve the Lord, we ought to grow. We ought to grow. We ought to be experienced. Some are experienced such that their experiences are positive to others. Some are experienced, their experiences are negative to others. But you and I must have positive experiences. Yeah, I have positive experiences. When some people sit you down and they are done talking to you, you will not want to go to any church again. That's a negative influence. When some people talk about prayer, you will stop praying. When someone talks about pastoring, you will stop it. Yeah, no, no. Something like that. When someone talks about giving, thank God I met you. The one that wants to die is dead, the one that wants to kill him. When you talk about evangelism, you say, hey, I was really saying it. Thank God for your life. What have you not done before? Those days. From the foundation of the world, you go on the street and look, all those things, God has stopped using it. I was talking to a preacher one day and he told me that evangelism is outdated. It was a BlackBerry chat, so I thought I needed to, because I'd never heard it before. You know, I think you've never heard before. This was about 9 years ago. So I had to type back and say, are you joking? He said, no. What do you mean? That some of you think you've got, you this word people. That's what I said. You this word, you think you know everything. Don't use that one to blackmail me. I asked a question. Which one is know everything? I asked a question. There's no answer. I say, I know everything. Is that the issue? Answer my question. You know? I said, no. He said, look, now is your works that will speak for you. I said, are you talking about miracles, signs, and wonders? He said, yes, in the commercial world. I said, it's getting comical. How could you say that? But people do say it. I'm sure that he must have said that to some other people. Who said, hey, no wonder I was struggling raising that disciple. No wonder. God has left it. Negative influences. Hallelujah. There are those who talk about the things of the Spirit. One guy, he wrote, he was contributing to a blog. So he wrote. Said, we've all been involved in all those stupid things. We say we're laughing in the Spirit, we're dancing in the Spirit, and all those things. He said, but we're all very stupid. I called him and said, Marcus, this guy is going astray. He didn't look like it because he was discussing theology when he said it. He has not just gone astray. He is there in the stingy tree. That's just it. If you get on Lagos by the expressway, right, you cannot land in Lekki. There's a path that leads to a destination. It doesn't go anywhere else. Don't deceive yourself. Don't say, well, my case is different. No. Maybe yours will be worse. So there are those who have negative influences. That when you meet them, you think when you serve God in the school, you will fail. Because they were indisciplined. But you meet others who handle the academics very well and the work of the ministry and their lives. And you'll be happy. Oh, thank God. Thank God for your life. Some will say, you want to serve God. One of the sufferings is F9. How can that be? That's a positive, that's a negative influence. Very negative. But you are a positive influence. You are a positive influence. When people see you, they sense the call of God. Do you hear me? They sense to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I had a boss then, and I was director of his company, Petroland Limited. And the man told me, he said, every time we talk, he's a Catholic. He said, I just sense that God wants to use me. I said, you have to sense it. Around me, you have to sense it. You have to. Praise the Lord. Okay, so you have those who have negative influences. That's what they project. Some will, when some talk about honor or loyalty or faithfulness in the house of God, they bring in a negative influence. You don't want to do it again. Where there are those where they talk about it. When they talk about it, you hear it and you are glad. Wow, thank the Lord for this. So you have to be careful the kind of influences you listen to. One guy one day, he sat down. He condemned every preacher. I mean, every preacher. This one is not doing well. This one is not doing well. So, when he was done, I mean, the only person he left was Jesus. I'm sure he probably will have done that later. So when he was done, I said, okay, what about you? He said, what do you mean? What's your commentary about yourself? I said, no, I'm not. You're not. You want me to be like you? So you just be condemning. Nothing. What are we doing? Nothing. He's jobless. They are people like that. Negative influences. That's what they have. That's all. Hallelujah. So when it passes, it is where it's where it leads everybody is going to lead you. Not going to be different. Hallelujah. So we want to look at the service of God and the examples that we have. The narrative. When Paul said that Timothy was faithful, what was he reading out? In Philippians 2:21, when Paul mentions Timothy, for example, Philippians 2, verse 21. When it says, all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. And it says in 19, Timothy, I'm going to send you, will be of good comfort. I have no man like-minded who naturally care for your state. Verse 22, for you know the proof of him. As a son with the Father, he has sat with me in the gospel. When they said that, you know, every time you say that to the church back then, they are reading the Old Testament, right? Right? That means Timothy has copied someone within Genesis to Malachi, right? Come on. So let's see who they have mirrored for us. Look at Genesis 15. Genesis 15. Or before we get there, 2 Chronicles 25. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 25. And verse 2. I'm going to start from 1. Amaziah was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign. Amaziah was 20 and 5. That's 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. So he started young, 25. And his mother's name was Jehoaddan of Jerusalem. So he started very young. Look at verse 2. Let's take verse 2 together. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That looks okay, stop there. That looks, yeah. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But look at the B part. Let's finish it together. But not with a perfect heart. He did what was right. That's interesting. But not with a perfect heart. Not with a perfect heart. What was right, like you are here now, is right. But not with a perfect heart. Did what was right. Attended the services. Attended the prayer meetings. Then say, why? That should be fine. But not with a perfect heart. Now, look at the word right. The word right is the Hebrew word yashar. Y-A-S-H-A-R. Y-A-S-H-A-R. It's a verb. It's a noun and also an adjective. But in this instance, it's an adjective. Many times the Hebrew has a word that can be a verb and a noun. This one is both a noun and an adjective. But here, it is an adjective. And you see it in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 18. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of God. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 8. You shall not do all the things that we do here this day. Every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. Right in his own eyes. That's the exact opposite. Verse 25. Deuteronomy 12. Thou shalt eat it that may go well with your children after thee, that thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of God. Deuteronomy 13, verse 18. Which I commanded thee to do that which is right in the eyes of God. The eyes of God. Now, I want you to focus on Judges 17, verse 6, which is the story of Israel as a nation. Let's take it together. Judges 17, 6. In those days, I'll wait for you. Judges 17, verse 6. Let's go. In those days. I'll start again. Let's start again. Let's go again. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did which was right in his own eyes. Judges 21:25. Now, would that bring in strife? And division. All right, good. Let's take 25 together. Let's go. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did which was right in his own eyes. So, people set up their own ways of doing things. So, the word right, yasha, means expected. To conform. It means straight. To conform. To conform. So which means that you, for example, if you're a worker in church, you submit your report on time, you have a good report, as it were, of your pastor. Always a very committed brother. Very committed brother, very committed sister, and all of that. So that was it. Conform to all the rules and regulations. So what then does it mean in 2 Chronicles 25, but not with a perfect heart? The word perfect is the word shalem. S-H-A-L-E-M. It means full, secure, and complete. Full, secure, and complete. Some versions will say, not with a dedicated heart. Others will say, consecrated heart. Full. That means he wasn't fully committed, even though he was doing what he was told to do. She was doing what she was told to do, but not fully committed. Hallelujah. Remember, one brother like that, you know, he was in the choir practice. So he was the head of the choir. So everybody had sung, they had done all that, they had prayed, they had done all that should be done. Then he said, guys, can we talk? He said, ah, yeah, yeah, what is it? I was, yeah. Then, do you really think that Jesus really rose from the dead? It looks funny, but the truth is, he has done everything. He's the head of the choir. He said, do you think do you really believe it? He said, God, don't say it. He said, ah, I don't think, but that's really what's on his heart. So he's done everything right. In our sight, he's confirmed, he'll sing the songs, but his heart is elsewhere. Hallelujah. Remember one sister like that? She got married to a brother, as it were, in the church. And the brother was in the same department. They were doing really good. So she told the pastor. The pastor thought, okay, this is the right brother for you to marry and all that. So they got married on the wedding night. Sister had left and she just woke up and she saw that was like a vision. Saul was in a praying mat. You know, at the time it will, this is a divinely granted appearance, so she felt, honey? So when he was done praying, his own prayer, he said, what are you doing? She said, I'm a Muslim. Why did you convert? To what? I never converted. I don't understand. I was looking for a born-again Christian wife. So I joined your church. So I know what the people want. Tell her. You know, and somebody now told me, but that is married by misrepresentation. I said, I understand. But that's not the issue. The issue is, she fooled everybody. Sorry, he fooled, well, both ways. He fooled everybody by doing the right thing, but not with the right heart. Hallelujah. Oftentimes, what people have in their heart will eventually come out. You can't have it for long. Not with a loyal heart. Not with a fully committed heart. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. That's why when you are with friends, watch the things they say in the unguarded moments. When you are not, if you are in a relationship to marry or whatever, or friendship, watch what people say in their unguarded moments. I had a friend like that. Who talked doctrine for a long time. Then he'll just say, all these ones, you don't have money. He kept saying it, so, you don't have money. You have money, money. And you know, we were in the university, so, well, not like now. Now, in fact, you find students say you can be a millionaire, so I don't want to use Old Testament stories for you. But the truth is, how much you want? He said, No, I'm just telling you, the word, for the word to really grow, we need to have money. You can't pay. So, now, it's neither with the word nor with the money. I like what they said, man. He said, I'm always making you move near the promised land till the end of your life. You know, so, because we're all talking the word and we'll all go out and argue with people and you'll be there. But you say, So what they say in those unguarded moments and watch yourself to the things you say in unguarded moments, it could just be what is in your heart coming out. The earlier you deal with it, the better. Let me show you what I'm saying this morning. The earlier you deal with it, the better. You're in your friends. says those things, and you don't caution, you don't begin to warn and correct, you're about to say that if your friend eats insects, and you don't warn him, both of you will have sleepless nights. So what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Hallelujah. So the loyal heart, a perfect heart, means that your heart is secure in it. They're not just observing the motions. Observing the motions. You can't just be doing that. You have to put your heart in there. A consecrated heart. A loyal heart. A loyal heart. Conversion says, a loyal, consecrated heart. Hallelujah. I like how Amplified says about giving. Whose heart is in his giving? Your heart is in it. You know, you can put down money. You can be serving and your heart is not there. Your heart is not there. A loyal heart. Say, I have a loyal heart. I don't think I heard you. Say it again. So every time we speak God's word like that, you say it to yourself. One thing you must realize, hear me, words matter a lot. I've noticed that some of you are very careless with your words. In fact, I'm talking about even some people in leadership. They're very careless. If you preach God's word, right, and it's true, and it's in words, then you should watch what you say. Don't say it was just an error. No. The moment you know it's an error, correct it. Words don't die. Did you hear me? How do you know God? Words. How did you believe? Words. Then why are you playing with words? Hallelujah. Don't say stupid things. Wherever you don't want to end up, don't put it in your words. Don't say things that you don't want to end up doing. Because if you say it, that's exactly what you're going to end up doing. I have a loyal heart. My heart is in the service of God. You know, you can't have your heart in two places. Either it's there or it's elsewhere. So a man can do the right things, not the right way. The right things. And look at how many years. 29 years. Why do you have to waste your time? 29. And it comes to nothing. Somebody once told me this. He said, well, I know that, yes, salvation is forever. You know, so that's all they want to do. Salvation is eternal. Salvation is forever. Salvation is, if somebody was talking to me on Tuesday, he said, I know that he just felt that, you know, that the only doctrine that can ever make him believe to any man of God is if he believes in eternal security of salvation. You are here to grow up. And you can't grow up that way. You have to grow up. You have to not be a fan of that doctrine or this doctrine. That the only thing you are holding on to is this theory or this thing in scripture. No. You have to be a lover of all of God's word. Is that very clear? All of God's word. Because by the time you start having favorite sermons, favorite explanations, you are developing itching ears. Itching ears. Itching ears. Say, I don't have itching ears. Say, I don't have itching ears. That means you want to only hear certain things, certain things, certain things. Hallelujah. Are you in church? A perfect heart, a loyal heart. Loyal. 29 years. Okay, this fellow was telling me, I'm saved forever. Even if our works burn, we will never burn. Okay, so you are satisfied with a life that have nothing to show. But the Bible says that it's a loss. It's a loss of rewards. That's all. Eh? God says you are going to have a loss. Don't you know the import of God saying something? You think you can picture the loss? You think it's a loss of the Chelsea game? See, forget that Chelsea thing. It's permanently in my sermons. That's the only parable I know that can drive us spiritual truth. You get it? So, if God says it's a loss, it means it's a loss, oh. But just the loss of the reward. At least, I will not be destroyed. You think so? Are you not destroyed like this? So I've got a perfect heart. I've got a loyal heart. You know, you can say that every day. I've got a perfect heart in what I'm doing. I've got a loyal heart. I've got a consecrated heart. My heart is in what I'm doing. I'm not just doing it because it's the right thing to do. I'm doing it also because my heart is in it. Praise the Lord. You following that? Let's look at examples that we'll find. Look at Genesis 15. A man, Eliezer. We often don't talk about this. Eliezer. And Abraham said, "Lord God, what would thou give me, seeing I go childless? The steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus." And Abraham said, "You know, can I make this man my heir?" That means Abraham saw Eliezer so faithful. He wanted Eliezer, to be the heir, to be the one that he would choose to carry out God's purpose and plan. He wasn't his only steward. He was not the only servant. Because if you check chapter 12, Abraham left with many servants. Verse 5. Many souls. Then chapter 12. He had many servants. In chapter 14, verse 14, trained servants. 318. But he picked one person. So this man can be my heir. This man can be my heir. Well, no, it doesn't stop there. Go to chapter 24. When he was going to choose a wife for Isaac, as their custom was, you know, he was very old. Verse 1. Stricken with age. Lord blessed him in all things. Then look at verse 2. He said unto his eldest servant of the house that ruled over all that he had, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh." That means he had put everything in his care. Is that faithfulness? Can you see it? Faithfulness. Just swear to me that you will take a wife for my child after God's commandments. Look at verse 34. He said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord have blessed my master greatly." And all of that. He said, "I am Abraham's servant." And he did exactly what Abraham wanted, even in his absence. Faithful in the house. Faithful over what was committed to his trust. Faithful to the end. Hallelujah. Not faithful one way, then the other way. Then he will give you reasons. Some people can give reasons for what they have done. You know, it's not easy now, you understand. Was faithful. Abraham found it important to make him an heir. means he was faithful to God's covenant. Elias, let's take another example, Joseph. So faithfulness is not in the past. Is that clear? No, it's not in the past. It's not in the past. It's not, I used to be bought. No, it means your heart was not loyal to what you were doing. Look at Joseph. You know, Joseph was sold by his brothers into the land of Egypt. You know that story. And it's a very interesting story. They didn't want him dead. They didn't want him around. Have you had those kind of people around you before? They don't want you dead. They don't want you around. You know, what kind of business? Now, in chapter 39, he was brought down to Egypt, verse 1, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard of the Egyptian, brought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites that brought him down either. Let's take verse 2 together. And the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. Look at verse 4. Let's go. Joseph found grace in his sight, and served him, and made him overseer over all his house, and all that he had put in his hand. Can you see that? Faithful. I mean, there was a time to be depressed, to complain, to say, can you imagine what I'm going through? Some people in the local church, all they have contributed is problems. Do you think everybody here doesn't have their problems? Is there anybody that doesn't have a problem? Come, let me give you one. Everybody has their own challenges. It is their own. You know what? They will go around the church telling everybody, I have 11 brothers. And they will tell each brother in church or sister the story of one brother. Even my father said, what was he thinking? So I said, oh, has he called you? He has not called me. He has not called you. I know what you're feeling like. To be there and not be there. To be abandoned. So, you know, going for prayer meeting and he cannot make it. He said, you know, no. That thinking has come back again. Okay. You know, Joseph wasn't going to do that. He was just faithful. Read God we said this years ago, I won't forget. He said, a good man is a good man everywhere. You're a good man everywhere. If you are faithful in church and your office, you are unfaithful. You are actually unfaithful. Do you hear me? Let me repeat that. If you are faithful in church and in your office, you are unfaithful. You are actually unfaithful. Let me say it for the last time. If you are faithful in church and in your office, you are unfaithful. You are actually unfaithful. If you are lazy in your work and hardworking in prayer meetings, you are actually lazy. Look at this. He has every reason to be complaining. Oh, everybody will now gather. You know they are all slaves. They will now gather telling their stories. Where did you come from? Oh, Jabuja. Why is he all coming out by now? Well, you know, if assuming my father sent me abroad, I will not be in this position. That's all you are contributing. No. Joseph was faithful. So you see, in everything you are complaining about, you are going to see somebody who is in a worse situation. And he said, what? Worse. Who is doing exactly what you said you could not do. John Wesley, Charles Wesley, and the brothers were raised by a single mother. And he raised all of them as ministers of the gospel. He said many times that she will back one, carry one, hold one, and then she will take them pray. And then that's the very reason some will say they don't come to church. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. See, It is in the obstacles that you grow. Those obstacles you are running away from, that is actually where you will grow. That's how you become strong. Look at Joseph. Now, you know, he now had another experience. What about life? Life against him. What a time to now be depressed and say, what is going on? What is going on? You know, somebody called me. He said, Pastor, as soon as we finish Believer's Convention, I don't know what's going on. I said, what went on? He said, one, my shop was boggled. He said, as I was preaching, my phone fell down and it went blank. He said, and I fell sick. I said, are you dead? I said, no, sir, I'm talking to you. So what's going on? I'm just wondering. I said, don't make me get disappointed with all the word I'm teaching you. You are linking things up as a network. Your phone fell down. Get another one. Your shop got bombed. Tell the police. You are feeling sick. Get healed or go to the doctor. And I'm just wondering, how did everything happen together? Because they chose to. Come on. Joseph said, hey, is it me? Why me? What is happening? After all that, I didn't even complain. I went to, I became a slave. I still was not complaining. And I was doing things, and again, it lied against me. And when I say they lied against me, those who are talking to you, say, are you sure? Because till today, they've not acquitted. The reason why you read it that both of us were lied against Joseph was because he was the one who said it. Because he left that record with Moses. But in the records of Egypt, or in Potiphar's house, they must have asked to say, what can we do now? The king has pardoned the criminal. But he didn't complain. He went to jail and look at it again. Chapter 39. Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the prisoner of the king committed to Joseph and all the prisoners were there, whatever he was the doer of it. So he never, you won't see him complain. When he interpreted dreams again in the next chapter, and you know, he didn't just say, can you imagine after ministering to people this much, after all the, what is all this? I'm the one that has the gift of the Spirit, I'm the one that has remained in prison. You must say, I'm the one that has the word, I'm the one that is here. No. He's growing. He's overcoming bitterness, right? Everything that should have stood in his service, he overcame it. The final one, his brothers now came, as oftentimes happens. And then they expected that, look, if there's any time to gloat, that was the time. To gloat and say, come and see. You know, he didn't do that. It is God who turned it around for good. Genesis 15 verse 20. No iota of bitterness. Hear me. Never allow bitterness on your heart. Bitterness can be given a reason. Hey, you know what I've been through? What they did to me? Bitterness can never be right. Did you hear me? Was faithful. And again, just like Potiphar, the keeper of prison, Pharaoh permitted the whole kingdom to his hands. You cannot keep a good man down. You can't do it. When you are good somewhere, you'll be good everywhere. So I'm a good person. Hallelujah. I'm faithful with all that was committed to my trust. Don't complain about the location of your ministry. Don't complain about the people there. Don't complain about time. The moment you start complaining, bitterness might set in. And then you begin to struggle. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? So I don't murmur. Neither do I complain. I serve the Lord with the whole of my heart. Look at Joshua. Joshua was another example. Joshua picked out a young man. He had Aaron and Miriam. Aaron was the man God chose. He would be your spokesperson. A sibling, a brother. Miriam was prophesying. Yeah. She prophesied that the prophecy was written. Miriam. But they got themselves a mess in nonsense. Conversations that shouldn't take place at all. There are some things they shouldn't take place at all. So all those things, words don't matter. Words matter. Also, but they didn't do anything to Moses. They only spoke words. That's all you need to do. They said, what is the big deal with him? Ah. What's the big deal with him? Is he the only one God uses? That's why you are drunk. You are really drunk. God chose someone who chose you. You are now asking that kind of question. And God said, are you not afraid? Are you not afraid? Those things you said, are you not afraid? Is it that you didn't think about it? I've told you, think before you talk. There are things some people will get away with, you cannot get away with them. Think before you talk. Are you not afraid? And that was it for Aaron and Miriam. But Joshua, the Bible says, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Why? Because Joshua was called the servant of Moses. We've done that study before. A wise person. A wise person. And he didn't stop mentioning Moses till the end of his life, when Moses wasn't there. Just like Joseph, faithful when no one was there. Faithful when people were there. Eliezer, same thing. Joshua, same thing. So it's not high service. His heart was loyal to what he was doing. So it's not about that before some people's honor, loyalty, submission is only when the person is there. Behind. But let me tell you, whatever is on your heart will come out. It will eventually come out. Hallelujah. One other example, Gehazi. Gehazi was obviously the favorite of Elisha. Favorite. Working with him, going everywhere, you go and do this, you go and do that. See, one day, he took him for granted. He didn't just lie, he took him for granted. The man said to Naaman, we're not collecting any offerings. We're not taking anything. Naaman said, are you angry? He said, no. It's not just time for it. Take your stuff back. 2 Kings chapter 5. And Naaman went away. And Gehazi felt he was smarter than the pastor. He said, how can he say that? Some of us will go behind your pastor to be giving advice. The moment a brother James is your leader, the moment he says something, that's the end. When Peter spoke, everybody came quiet, right? You are allowed to do all that conversation until Peter spoke. Then James, and everybody just fell in line. He has said what he's going to say. You may not understand it. You may not be able to say, but why? Is it not right for the blue and open for the prophet of God? And you begin to rationalize it. Why should you even get yourself in that? Your heart is to serve. Don't get yourself immersed in such conversations. The next thing, he went after Naaman. And he lied. Why did he have to lie? Because it's not in his place. So he had to lie. You know who you are. You know what you do. He had to lie. Hey, my Lord said we should. I believe strongly. I've read the Hebrew over and over again. That Naaman knew he was lying. He knew. That's enough. He wants more than this. Maybe Naaman just said, let's share some weight. Let's give this Stephen assistant pastor. And he went away.
when he got back to Elijah, sir, where did you go to? Ah, you know that outreach. You asked us to go. I believe he must have seen that Elijah was human. Might have made errors here and there, forgotten things. So he felt, this is just a human being. You know, so when you put my power off, you feel, ah. When you are close, you say, ah. So he can have his judgments. You know, after somebody told me about that, I told me that this is what year was that? He said, ah, I was surprised, sir, because you said that Nigeria was going to win that game. Ah, it was going to make me feel guilty. He said, it was interesting that we lost. I said, I know we lost. You know, I mean, you two don't deceive yourself. What are your scores in school? A guy was asking, he said, there's a place of the life of God in academics that when we do, he had spoken what it was about, what he was about, it was about prosperity, you know. He was really arguing. So I said, what did you score in school? He said, 2-2. 2-2 is second class lower. So did you have the life of God then? He said, yes. Did you use it? He said, yes. 2-2 life of God. Second class lower life of God. Let that shut up. In human affairs, right? That's what it is. If you are dull, you are dull. The life of God will ask you to go and read more. Amen. That's just what it does. So he was like, how can you say Nigeria? We win the game, Nigeria did not win. It was Nigeria versus this game, Denmark. Who saw that game? France 38. You know, we were already thinking of beating Brazil. So I said, ah, Nigeria will beat Denmark for this. I said, it bought me. And it was another one meeting we had, the Holy Ghost meeting in Zico. So it looked like I was confirming. But I was just talking like a football fan. And the guy said, and I'm of course patriotic Nigerian. And the guy said, but you said this. I said, yes, I did. I'm telling you, there was a day like when Benin City, 2 years ago, it was a game between Barcelona and Roma. So we're at the hotel. So I was telling some of the pastors around. No, they didn't come with me. So I met them. So I said, that today they will beat Barcelona. They beat Barcelona. I'm not saying because I don't like Barcelona. That's all. So the next day the guy said, are you serious yesterday? When you said it, I just said, I don't like Barcelona. All my prophets will be negative. That is not, it's not a... Say, but why don't you like Barcelona? Fabregas, Fled, Song. That 2-1 loss, they gave the Van Persie red card. I can't like it all. I put enmity between me and their seat. You know, that's not human. But people will think that you are making, that you are speaking in your office. You get it? No, I'm a fan. Praise the Lord. That's what it is. So Elijah must have been like that. Then Gehazi felt, So he went behind. He overreached himself. And he was leprous. Now, if you understand that, in the culture of the Old Testament rules, as we call it, it means he was no longer qualified to stand in the office. That was what it meant. It's not the sickness that was the key. The fact that he wasn't any longer qualified. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, 27, I put my body under, breaking the subjection, lest at any time I become disqualified. Hallelujah. You learning something? I'm faithful. My heart is in the service. Don't ask stupid questions. Don't say stupid things. How come, Brother Deji, allowed Wiley to come late and then did not allow me to come late? These are stupid questions. Of course, those who ask those questions
and not in leadership. When you get, you know, there's something you say before you are chosen to serve as a leader that you don't say anymore because you see reality. You know why some pastors are quiet over some things. Now you can see it. The best coaches are those who run commentaries. They can analyze. You see, assuming he played a 4-4-2, he would have put this, I will never forget Gary Neville. Gary Neville will complain and he'll analyze. Tony Adams do. They will call Tony Adams after national, particularly those years that we are really struggling. Tony Adams, we are not struggling again. We are people out of unbelief. Tony Adams will analyze. No! When guy is spent, he's this one. Fuck off! He was fighting one time. Analysis. That's not how a church should be. Number three, he and a friend went into partnership of business. The business failed. So he was criticizing my other friend. We are three friends. He said, that's not run a business. And he complained. Then he sat me down. He said, when I started my own, I was going to start an ice cream business. He said, when I started, I'm going to do this. He analyzed it because he has a master's from the United Kingdom. So the thing was in his head. You know, when you want to do business, there's no business school. I'm going to Nigeria. You know? So I told the other friend, I said, just watch. 1 month, everything collapsed. One month. He was now complaining about somebody else. You know, in that place where we put the kiosk. You know the commentators, you can comment. No, it's not like that. Hey, is that how to run a church? A proper church should be, they will have the feelings of, you know, follow up a growing Christian, you cannot do. A Christian that's already committed, follow up. You will forget the name. One soul, you don't know the name. If we commit the book of life, you are going to be empty. You don't know the name. One soul. So what's his name? He's a brother. No. He's a brother. Commentators can be analyzing. Analyzing. Hallelujah. Keep your heart in the right place. Hallelujah. Keep it in the right place. There are matters you should. Don't put your mind in it. Don't put your mouth in it. Are you learning something here? I'm only reminding many of you. There are matters. Even among your pastors, sometimes I share with them. Copy what this person is doing. Among your pastors, copy this person. There are times like that, I'll tell some of your pastors, I say, did you notice that this particular church, they always do this? The reason is because of their pastor. It's a learning point. So you begin to imbibe it. You cannot plant corn and get rice. Did you hear me? Are you following what I'm saying? Put your heart in the right place. So I have my heart in the right place. So what's important? Focus on the task. I close here. Always learn to focus on the task. Did you hear me? Learn to what? Focus on the task. It keeps your eye in the right place. Like I always say, keep your eyes on the ball. Focus on the task. Focus on the task. What's the task? Have you found out what is the task in myself? What's the task in the church? What is the task in my zone? What's the task in my what's the task in the body of Christ? Focus on it.
Focus on it. Be faithful to the task. Know the things that are secondary. Know the things that are important. Focus on the task. Focus on the men involved in the task. Some of them will be above you. Some will be under you. Some will be with you. The man said this. He said to those who are over you in the Lord, you entreat them. Elder, spouses, you entreat. Entreat means you beseech. You don't instruct people ahead of you. You ask questions. Sir, I just want to know. If, I just want to ask. I just want to find out. Now, for those who are your contemporaries, who you serve together, right? You can, you know, have conversations, engage, debate issues. For those who are beneath you, I use the word beneath very carefully. I don't mean that they are under your feet. I just simply mean those who are, you are over, you instruct and correct. You advise those who are on the same that you only entreat those who are ahead. Entreat. You ask questions. You seek for answers. You don't go to those who, I was talking to someone, I said, you want to ask me for counsel. You told me, sir, God told you. No. You can say that to your colleagues, but if I'm your pastor, the right words would be, I kind of feel, I sense that maybe. That's what you say. Because Solomon said, if good words can draw great answers. If you use the right words, you get the right answers. Some of us, the way we talk, we are violent. We're, even in our friendships, relationships, marriages, we just boom, boom, boom. It's not a conversation. You raise your voice and then you lose the wisdom. Use the right words, soft words. Sir, I just feel like I am. Do you know why you say that? Because you know you have been wrong before, thinking God led you in something. So be smart. To those ahead, you entreat. To those that are like your contemporaries, you can counsel, advise. To those under you, instruct and you correct. Don't forget that. Is that very clear? Focus on the men in the task. Above all, focus on the Lord of the task. Let him be your singular devotion. Let him be why you are serving his men. Let him be why you are serving his church. Let him be why you are giving your time and attention. I close with these words. Take it to yourself. Take it to your heart. Do a regular check on your spiritual life. You know, people can be sick and they are walking. They can be sick and they are talking. People can be near death and you'll be seeing them. People can put up appearances. What Paul says, take it to yourself. Acts 20:28. 1 Timothy 4:16, take it to your doctor. You must take it to yourself. Take it to your prayer life. Take it. A little drops of water, you see, makes a mighty ocean. I shared it on Tuesday also in my fellowship meeting that you can, the moment you start missing your routine and postponing it, becomes a habit. Things become a habit when you tolerate them. Don't tolerate missing your prayer times. Don't tolerate times of study and prayer. You normally go out to reach the lost. Don't tolerate when you now start giving reasons why you can't do it anymore. Then it will become a habit and you will find a reason why it's now a habit. You have a loyal heart. You know we're in a season of a harvest, supernatural harvest. I trust the Lord that you will walk in it. You know the truth is, there are people, God walks with us to finish.
But there are those who can start and will never finish. It's good to start. It's wonderful to continue. But the blessedness is to finish. Some will prophesy and they will never be at the end of receiving the prophecy. Some people will give us good songs and they won't sing those songs again. Some will teach good sermons and others will be the ones to teach them afterwards. They won't preach it anymore. Some will start great work. Others will take it on and finish. And they will not. What's the reason? A loyal heart. Key into this time. Ensure that you use your words right. Don't say careless words. And the way to stop careless words is to ensure you don't have careless thoughts. Careless thoughts will produce careless words. Careless thoughts come from careless things that you watch and hear. So if I stop myself from hearing careless things, I stop my thoughts from thinking careless thoughts. I stop my words from saying careless things or being filled with careless things. And of course, I stop my life from being a careless one. Are you blessed this morning? Let's pray. Stand to your feet, let us pray. Are you still making disciples? Are you making disciples conscientiously? Are you bearing fruit? Is your heart in the right place? Amaziah did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Not with a perfect heart. The word of God will grow, no doubt. It's for you have to also grow. We don't just pray. Be there when the prayer is answered. Or being answered. Don't be a starter. Be someone who continues and who ensures that he finishes. Lord, I want to be more like you. Oh Lord, I wanna be more like you. I wanna be a blessing to you. You are.